Well, but we're like best friends. We really are. Man, this guy keeps me on track, man. This really is one of my best friends, man. I mean that with all my heart. And I submit unto him. And I really do. I submit unto him and I let him speak into my life. No. Only because I'm taller than you, right? Come on here. I'm going to share something.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in fellowship with this body of people. It's such a needed thing for me. I don't know about you, but I just love coming here. One of my favorite places to come. The presence of the Lord is here. And there's just a verse of Scripture that I've been thinking about. It's the Tetrarch of Judea, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, and all the razzmatazz and stuff. The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came to John, who was the forerunner, preparing the way of the Lord, preparing the bride for the coming bridegroom. Hallelujah. And I feel like God's doing that. He's preparing his people. He's bringing up low places, bringing down high places individually in our soul, in our spirit, in our heart, bringing us up. One of the things that God has been pressing on me and I think is happening in this place is God is doing more. In 1 Corinthians 9, he says he bought us out to bring us into Jesus. It's basically what that verse is saying. He didn't just bring us out from sin, set us free from sin. He called us to come into Jesus. Not just come out, but to come in. He didn't call us just to go and make people ready to go to heaven when they die. He called us to make disciples. To make disciples. And somebody asked Billy Graham one time, if you had to do over your ministry, what would you change? He said, I would change my emphasis from preaching toward people getting saved to making disciples. He said, they studied their inventory of all the list of people, the hundreds and thousands of people that signed the card, only 1% went to church. 1%. Jesus didn't say, go and get people saved. He said, go and make disciples. In other words, it's one thing to get free from sin, but you know what? If we don't get full of something, it says the devil comes back seven times fuller if you don't finds a house swept and clean. See, so it behooves us to get into the heart of God. You know, it took Enoch a while to learn to get into stride with God. You know, that's what we're learning to do in this period of time. God has raised up this man and other people like him to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. That's the call. It's not to go to heaven. I mean, that's part of the. But he's coming. He's coming and he's preparing. There is a company being raised up to prepare the way of the Lord for them to receive God and for God to receive them. Hallelujah. And I believe this church and this man, this couple and this daughter are called to do that. I love this place. And I love what's going on here. And there's others. There's others that are watching you and others that are watching this city. We need all the watchmen on the wall that we can get. Amen. So I just love you guys and thank you so much for being here, for being obedient to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love this man and this woman. Amen. They are real. Amen. That's fresh and alive, real people in God. And that's what I love about them is they're real. Man, we hang out together and we go with Apostle Valentine. And that's my favorite time. I love whenever we go driving all the way up to Revlock. It takes 2 hours or whatever to get there. But it's such a good time because these guys crack me up. I sit in the back and just laugh because they really get me going. Amen. All right, well, listen, I want you to hear something, because what he just said really opened up for what I'm going to say, because I'm going to open up with John the Baptist and how that he was the forerunner to something. Amen. And I'm going to read a scripture to you, and I don't know if you've heard it this way, but I believe that we're not doing this by force anymore, but we're coming up out of arrest. Amen. It's not about how we are performing. Amen. About how we're trying to break through, get through. I want you to know that we're walking out of what he's already done for us. Amen. That he's already done something for us. We got to know and walk in that revelation and understanding of what he has done for me. Amen. Tell your neighbor, what has he done for me? What has he done lately? Amen. Tell someone that you are what you eat. All right. Tell someone else, you are what you eat. And you feel, you think whatever you want to think. I just gave you that, and that's what I said. Maybe that's what we're going to call this message, you are what you eat. Because what are we consuming? Amen? And I just want to share this to you. I want you to hear this scripture. And it says, he's going to go ahead and put it up in the message, because I think it's pretty good. You can relate to what I'm saying from here. Amen? And they were talking to Jesus, and he said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not been greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that least in the kingdom of God, heaven, is greater than he. And from now, John the Baptist, and say this with me, until now. Listen, I want you to know that he came up out of a wilderness with a voice, with direction, hallelujah, and he was declaring something, amen? He was bringing forth a message, hallelujah, of the heart of the Father, that he had it in his heart, amen? Before anybody else, he was a forerunner. He had something within his heart. I want you to know that God wants you to sing a song that no one else is singing, amen? God wants you to come forth. He wants to sing, give you a message, something in your heart that no one else is singing. No one else can sing what you sing, amen? What's coming out of your heart? God's got something in particular for you to declare, to come forth out, that's from his heart, to be preached and to be declared. Amen. And I want you to know it comes up out of a wilderness season. Amen. We talked about this last night at discipleship class. We talked about it Wednesday, that we can talk about our precious fiery trials. And I think that's funny, because I can't get off it, because listen, I don't know about you, but I don't normally call my trial precious. My sweet, precious trial. I got other names for it. Come on, when you're going through a bunch of nonsense, come on, amen. You've been roughed up, you've been knocked out, you've been running through the mud, you got things this way and that way, amen, bothering you, things come against you, and there's things all over, and you don't know which way to turn. I don't stand back and say, what a precious moment. I don't think they make precious moments for those trials. Come on, amen. But I want you to know that he calls it because why? Because there must be a falling away first, amen, that Christ be revealed, amen, that those precious trials reveal Jesus Christ in our lives, hallelujah, out of the midst of things that we go through. I want you to know, out of what John the Baptist went through in the wilderness season when he was declaring something that no one else was, amen, he felt like he was an oddball. Remember, he come up out of that place with a hairy garment on, a camel. What is that? Oh, what's that? Elton John song says that. What kind of suit? Mohair suit. Come on. He wore that mohair. A mohair suit. He had this suit on. Amen. That he looked funny. He was eating bugs. Come on. Amen. He was eating bugs. He looked ridiculous. I want you to know that you might look ridiculous to others. Come on. Amen. When you're declaring, you're worshiping, you don't know why you're going through something. You're declaring because you're standing on the promises of God. Amen. It might not look like you're seeing the promises, but we're going to be like David. Hallelujah. He was in the midst. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but he was in a cave, but he was holding on to the promises of God, that God gave him a promise that he would be king. Amen. A message. Man, that's powerful. But I want you to see that John the Baptist come, and I want you to know that we have something that we got to know, that our war is already over. Come on, amen. That we're resting and we're standing on what he has done for us. And the scripture declares it. It brings it forth. He said that John the Baptist, John the Baptist, but the kingdom of God, he's brought it forth. Let me read it out of mine. He says, John the Baptist, until now. Until now. Until the moment, till that moment, Jesus was declaring this. Until now. God's people have been doing this. You ready for this? He says, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. It has been something that you've had to work at. It's been something you had to press into. Come on, amen. That's what religion does. It's something you got to work at. You got to try to do this. You got to fulfill all the commandments. You got to do all these things instead of realizing that we enter in by His rest, that we can't do it in our own strength. Amen. That's what man struggles with. That's what man had a hard time with, trying to do it out of what he can do, out of his best. I want you to know that our best isn't enough. But His is. Come on, amen. I'm going to say it again. My best is not enough, but His is. Amen. My best is not enough, but His is. Come on, amen. That He went through it all. Man, I tell you, I just began to see this Wednesday night when we were worshiping. I began to feel and understand that Jesus went through this whole process with us. Amen. He was doing it for us. Come on. He was stepping in the gap. Come on, amen. To fill my place, to die on my behalf as me. Come on, amen. To die and arise that I can be triumphant, that I can have victory in my life, that I can be called an overcomer, that I don't have to try to do it by force on my own, but I can rest in what He does. I can take hold of it by faith. Amen. The only battle I'm facing right now is the battle of faith. It's a battle of faith. It's believing when the storms are out there. Come on, amen. Looking at the right thing. Having your eyes on Jesus when you're being battered and you're being overcome. Amen. It's keeping your eyes on Jesus. That is hard sometimes. Come on, tell me. It's hard sometimes when other things get your distraction. They begin to pull you away. Begin to look this way and that way. Things knock you to the left. I want you to know. Listen, what's his name? Mike Tyson says that, he says, what's your game plan? He says, listen, once you get punched in the face, throw the game plan out the window. When someone punches you in the mouth, you might have got a game plan, Sam. But when someone punches you in your mouth, all of a sudden, you ain't looking the right way no more. But I want you to hear this. I want you to know that Jesus knew that our best was not enough. And He wasn't going to stop. Hallelujah. He was going to go to the end, Jamie. He was going to go through it all. He was going to go through all. He wasn't going to stop. And it says, even though He's seen our weaknesses, I want you to hear this, come on. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your failures. He knows that you want to do right, but you don't sometimes. And I want you to see that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He was walking in the midst and He asked the disciples. He brought them along with Him. This was His deepest, hardest moment in life. Right here, right now. He even told the Father, if you could take this from me, take it. Because this is hard. So He brought His disciples with Him. He said, just pray with me. Pray with me. Stay with me. And He went away. And when He came back, fell out. Man, they wanted to. Come on, kind of like that. They violently wanted to do what God told them to do. They wanted to do it. Even Peter would even, he would look at him and say, no, I will never leave you. And I believe in his heart, he really didn't want to miss it. He wanted to be there for him, but he was weak. He was unable to do it in his own flesh. He wasn't able to do it in his own strength. He needed something more. Come on, amen. He needed the Spirit of God. And Jesus came to bring forth that. Come on, amen. So that we don't have to suffer violently. That we don't have to try to get to God. Tear and pull and do everything we can to get God's attention. Jesus got God's attention for us. Amen. Come on. He died on the cross. Hallelujah. And poured Himself out. I couldn't do that because I'm weak in my own strength. These disciples were weak and they're sitting there in that garden. They wanted to do right. Right? But then all of a sudden it says he left again. When he came back again, they're sleeping again. Every one of them. And their heads are down. And Jesus says to them, he says, the spirit is willing, I know it. But the flesh is weak. He says, but I'm going. Hallelujah. He was going to the cross. He wasn't going to stop. He wasn't stopping. He was going through. Listen, I want you to know, He was making a way where there was no way. He was becoming the way for them. That you can't do this on your own. You've tried to do this for 4,000 years. What Adam has messed up, hallelujah. You have tried to get back to the Father, but you can't do it in your own strength. Come on, amen. You can't do it in your own strength. These great men and women of God tried to do it. They tried to pray, pull down the heavens, do everything they can to get to God in their own strength. And they couldn't. Amen. Come on, man, making sense to you. Let me get a drink real quick. Amen. So he says, until now. He says, for all the prophets of the law prophesied until John. He says, and if you receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that has an ear, let him hear. I want you to know that I said this, and I want you to get this, that listen, I want you to know the only way we can hear is that, you know, you have your natural fleshly ears, but we need to realize that we have spiritual ears, spiritual eyes to see. Come on, amen. That we got to connect with God, that we get open with what He did for us. See the way things He sees. Amen. Disciples see what He sees. That means that, guess what? That they're in a place, availability to see what He sees. Come on, amen. That they put themselves in a position to see the way He sees things. Amen. That they're not in the flesh looking at people in the world the way that they would in the flesh, but they're seeing it in the Spirit, seeing the people that are lost, that are broken, with compassion the way that the Father sees them. Amen? With His ears. With His eyes. Amen. That this is no longer external, but it's internal. It's not about trying to beat through to get through something. It's about God working out of us. Amen? It's about God working out of us. Working through our lives. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to know it's something to get excited about. That's why when I hear that word, I pray that our hearts come alive with that word to understand that He wants to come alive in us. Come on, amen. He wants to move and have His being in you. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, in you. He wants to move and have His being in you. He wants to demonstrate, hallelujah, His glory in the earth through your lives. Wow. That's precious. Amen. John the Baptist was announcing the kingdom of God. I want you to see this and understand something, that this is powerful, because I want to bring this to this place where you could see that, that John the Baptist was seeing something with his eyes spiritually. He was getting able to see something. And all of a sudden, I want you to know that here's John the Baptist, where he comes there. And remember where Jesus was standing on the shore, and all of a sudden, the dove descended from heaven. This is my beloved. He watched the kingdom of God descend upon, the glory of God descend upon the Son of God. Amen? He watched the dove descend. He watched it come down upon him. He watched the kingdom of God begin to break out in that moment, at that time, began to come forth down from heaven. And Jesus began to walk out this thing. Amen? Hallelujah. This is demonstration he wanted us to see. The Spirit of God was descending upon him. God was, and I just began to think about Noah. I began to think about how that Noah built an ark. We good? Heard a bang. Woo! Come on. Poor baby. Someone else starts crying, you just start crying. Ain't that the way it is? I mean, come on, man. Amen. Amen. Listen. Noah built an ark. That's all right. That's all right. Noah built an ark. God was using Noah to bring an to create a vehicle. Come on. That he could bring Noah and his family. Everybody look at this. To bring Noah and his family out from a sinful, corrupt, cursed world. There was a vehicle. And he built an ark. I want you to see here that right here in this moment of time, John was seeing the vehicle of God right before him. It wasn't an ark, but it was a person. His name was Jesus Christ. I want you to get this. It was going to deliver a people out from sin and disease and the curse that was upon the earth. He used Noah to build that ark. I want you to see that my friend Lynn House said this one time. He said that that remember when Noah, he released the dove. Remember he released the dove? I want you to know that the dove shows up in Matthew and it landed upon Jesus. It was trying to find, tell your neighbor, a resting place. A place to rest. Do you know, I want you to know that every one of us are looking for a place to rest. Because Jesus says, in the next verse, he says, come unto me, all you are heavy laden. Listen, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want you to know, listen to me, I want you to see, it was how he performed. It's what he did. I want you to know that so many times we concentrate on what Adam did that got us in this mess, and all the mess that's around us, it kind of consumes us. It focuses us because we see sickness, we see disease, we see poverty, we see brokenness, and we see it all around us. We see it and it breaks us, it hurts us. We see it around us. We got to understand that Jesus was the rest from out of that. Come on, amen? We got to know that the way out of that was through Jesus Christ. He declared, all you that are heavy laden, that have been carrying, that are trying to, all you that are heavy laden, that try to force your way to God, that have tried to perform your way, try to get to God. Amen? It's not about a doing, it's about a being. I want you to know, because once you begin to be, you'll do. I want you to know that I do the right things. Why? Because, hallelujah, because I know who I am. Because I'm letting Him be in my life. I want you to know that when you know to do something wrong and you do it, you hide from God. I don't care what you say, you hide from God. When you're doing something you know you shouldn't do, you're hiding from God. But when you're doing the right things, when you're seeking Him, I want you to know you're seeking His face. Moving towards Him, not away from Him. Amen. Listen. He says God was giving a vigor to get out of a world dominated by sin and the curse. Amen. So listen to this. Matthew 12. And it says, and at the time Jesus, after He said this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what He was declaring. So I want you to see here, this is powerful, because this is the first miracle that He does on the Sabbath day. And we all know that the Sabbath day is a day of what? Come on, say it again. It's a day of what? Listen, I want you to know that, see, out of our performance, we have been known to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. I want you to know that no matter what I do in my own strength, I can't keep a day holy. I don't know how to do that. Out of my own strength. I want you to know there were so many things that they had to do. They couldn't walk so many miles, right, Sam? They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. And what happens is sometimes religiously, people, my grandma, I love her, but that's all she knew. She just knew it. This is my grandma Cochran. She was a tough bird. She had a TV. It was a no-no with the Holiness Church. Whew. That was the devil. These are the same people that thought a Pepsi glass looked like the shape of a woman. You didn't go to the picture show. So I want you to see that. So my grandma used to slide grandma's TV into the closet when her preacher came over. She violently wanted to get to God, but she wanted to watch TV too. You know, do you know what that does to you? When you know, you think, well, what's really wrong with just watching TV? You know, you think, man, if I do all these different things, if I do this, God will love me. You know, that's what we've presented to people, that if you do all these things, that He'll love you. I want you to know that when you realize that He just loves you, you'll do the right things. Do you know what set me free, that broke me from drugs and addiction? Was knowing that He loves me. Come on, it wasn't nothing else. It wasn't what I did. He was like, okay, if I do all these things right. I came into church with my long hair, amen? With my long hair and my ears pierced. Ears pierced. I came in that way. Come on, amen? I came in that way and just let Him accept me for who I am. And just because of that, I got set free from drugs. Not because of what I did. Because I want you to know that I didn't come to God before that. Because why? Because I didn't have the strength to do it. I never can be holy like You. Someone told me, you don't have to. You just need to receive Jesus and love Him and know that He loves you. And guess what? Everything else will turn right. If you give Him all your heart. Come on, I'm talking about giving your heart. It's, listen, what He says is when He's talking to you to do that right thing. When He's whispering to you, He says, you don't need that. Don't go to sleep. Stay awake. Come on. It's that little whisper. Have an ear to hear. Only those that respond, that move to God, that obey, hallelujah, have an ear to hear. And that ear gets bigger. Gets bigger. So, listen. Where was I? About the TV. Yeah. And Grandma, seriously, I mean, I remember she had her hair in a bun. She had beautiful hair. It was beautiful. It was gray. It was kind of blondish. You know what I mean? It's like that. I don't know. I can't explain it. And she just let it down. And I remember just looking at it. She was like 90. She had hair. It was down to here. It was as long as Kristen's. And I loved it. But she'd wear it in a bed. I never seen my grandma with pants on. She did everything she could right. But one day, and I remember, she wanted my grandma's holy. She's just holy. She says, she don't do nothing wrong. But something she said to me caused me to run from God, not to God. See, I want you to know that my life should cause you to run to God, not from God. You should want God, when you begin to see one another and see the love that we have for one another and the love that you have and the joy that you have. I want that. Hallelujah. I want that. That's what disciples do. Come on, amen. That's what disciples do. They say, I want what you got. How many people follow Jesus? They got up and left what they were doing. Here's His job. Who was it? Luke was sitting at the table. Luke, was it Luke? And Jesus walked up to him and says, come and follow me. He got up and left. Who does that? Somebody that was attracted to what was in him came forth out of him. But my grandma looked outside and my brother was out there. It's a Sunday. It's a day of rest. It's a holy day. And my brother was changing the tires of his car. Chuck. And grandma looked back at me. Tears in her eyes. Really tears in her eyes. Crying. She says, you need to tell him to stop. I said, why? He said, because this is a holy day. If he died today, he's going to burn in hell. For changing the tires of the car, Grandma? Yeah. I said, Grandma, you know he works every day. And I thought, well, that's foolish. That a day. A day? Like a day that God's going to cause me to burn. Listen, I want you to get it and see that there was something violently that we had to try to get to God before. But I want you to know that He made a way where there was no way. Come on, amen? That I need to receive what He's done for me. I need to enter into His rest, what He did for me. Come on, amen? And when I do that, I become attractive to people. Come on, amen? I become attractive. And I'm not bashing it. There's somebody that honors Sunday. That's fine. I'm not saying that. Listen, that's not why I have Saturday church. Or nothing. It has nothing to do with that. I mean, I know people, half the church left whenever I said we're going to have Saturday. Because Sunday is the holy day. Not really, but I mean, actually it's Saturday. But we're not going to argue about that. If you want to leave, good, leave. I'm sorry. But it's more than that. And I want you to see this. I'm not making light of this. I just want you to get this. Are we okay? All right. And it says, and all of a sudden, the next verse, he says, and here's what Jesus, this is the first miracle that he does on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day. I want you to know it's his day. Hallelujah. It's his day. Hallelujah. It's his day. It is his day. It's the Lord's day. Whatever he does, he can do on his day, because it's his day. If I get upset with what he's doing on his day, then I'm not doing what I should be doing. I should be resting in his day. I need to be resting in what he's doing, not what I'm doing. Focusing on what I'm doing, not what he's doing. And but Lord, thank you, dear. Thank you. Am I dripping on you? Sorry. And at the time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn with his disciples, and they were hungry. He was going through the cornfield with his disciples. Listen, they're hungry. They didn't have a Burger King. They didn't have a drive-thru. Here was a cornfield. It was his cornfield, by the way. He's the creator. Just think about this, okay? Here he is with the disciples, and they're pulling off the corners. He says, go ahead and eat. They're not even thinking about it. They're walking with Jesus. They're not worried about a day. Why? Because they're walking with Jesus. They're not focused on what day it is. They don't even realize what day it is because they're walking in Jesus. It's not about a day. But it's about the person of Jesus that they're with. And they're walking and they feel comfortable. I want you to know that your religion, your Christianity, your walk with God should be comfortable. It should be joyful. It should be exciting and alive. And if it's not, we got to focus and see what we're walking in, a day or a person in Jesus Christ. I mean, is it about a religion or is this about Jesus? Is this about coming to a service and just participating and being there? Or am I being active? Am I walking with Him through the cornfield? I want you to see the power in this. The power in this, that He's walking through this, because it's significant. The Scripture, the Word of God says this in John 12:24. Go ahead and look there. Look, see. Real quick here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground. There's something significant about where they are. They're in a cornfield. They're walking through the cornfield. I want you to see this. Amen. Come on. And he says, that fall to the ground and die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I want you to see something, that Jesus was doing something prophetic. He was walking through a cornfield. It was prophetic of what he was going to do. Jesus, out of his life, was that corn of wheat that fell into the ground. Come on. He was that that fell to the ground and died. And because of that, guess what? The resurrection life, come on, that we receive that through the burial, through the resurrection, amen? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can partake of that. And here he was walking through a field that was corn. And he was getting his disciples to partake of what his life was going to give. The harvest that his life would produce. And here they are walking in it. They're experiencing it. I want you to know that this is what God wants us to do. Experience His life like that. Partaking about what He did. See, I want you to know that they were partaking it. But I want you to know that Jesus was hungry too. I want you to hear this. Jesus was hungry also. I want you to know that Jesus wants to partake. He wants to partake of what His life produced. We are His harvest. Come on, saints. We're His harvest. We are His harvest. Come on, amen. He's hungry, come on, to partake of what He produced, what He gave His life for, what He died for. I want you to know that my life, come on, that He partakes of what, out of what He did in my life. Do you get that? Come on, do you see that? He wants to partake of what I have, of who I am, of my life, of spirit, not the flesh. It's not about a religion. It's a relationship. Amen? Come on, let's see this. It was the first miracle that was done. I want you to know that when we understand this, that when you look at this and you see all the miracles that Jesus did on Sunday, this one helps you understand every one of them. Come on, this is the key. Because it's about the death, burial, and resurrection. Come on, amen? It's what happened in 3 days that took place. I want you to see this. I want to try to give this to you real quick. Is that all right? Because I want to give communion. I want to partake of what He did for us. I want to partake of this. I want you to see that, understand that. Amen? So he says, and Jesus says, but he said to him, have you not read? He says, but the Pharisees saw it. And they said unto him, behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful. Do upon the Sabbath day. Here they are. They're coming after him. I want you to know the next verse he begins to tell about David. So I want you to know that David was an example of, was a shadow, a type of Christ, a type of Christ. Come on, say type of Christ. So we can look at his life and see the significance of what was produced. I want you to know that just like David, come on, amen, that David, or just like Jesus, that he was the new regime coming in. He was the kingdom of God was coming forth, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to take him out. Come on, amen. They wanted to remove him from the scene because they were disrupting the way things were. The enemy does not, hallelujah, want you to disrupt the way things are. He wants you to stay lost, come on, lonely, hurt, in darkness, confused, angry, upset, unforgiving. He wants you to stay at that place. He doesn't want you to walk through the cornfield, hallelujah, with the understanding of what He did for you. Because when you walk through that cornfield and begin to partake of what He did for you, you begin to be filled. You begin to be filled up, hallelujah, with something, hallelujah, that will give you power, will give you life like nothing else. But David knew it. David knew it. And that's David did the same thing. He went from this place and he went into the only place he knew he could go. He went into the temple of God. And he found a priest. And he asked the priest, give me some of that bread, some of that meal, some of that bread that you have. Come on, amen. The corn. Because that's what they made the bread from. Come on, amen. And I'm just trying to make this real simple for us to get. And he says, I want to partake of this. I need it. I want you to know that, listen, David was running. He was heard the promises of God. He was hiding in a cave. Sometimes you might feel like you're not experiencing the promises of God or the fullness of things. I want you to know that we need to be like David. And we need to get into the temple of God. And we need to partake, hallelujah, of what Jesus produced. He was partaking of something prophetically. Something that was coming. But in his spirit, he was seeing something that no one else was seeing. He was desiring something more. I want you to know that God, there's a people that are hungry for something more. And I know the only thing that will fill you is understanding it is the death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. It's understanding what he did for me. It's partaking of that that gives us life. Not dead works. Not about what I can do, but about what he did. I need to eat the right thing. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. You eat flesh, you sow to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. Sow the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit. I want you to know that this is what they were doing. Hallelujah. They were partaking of what Jesus produced. And it makes the enemy angry. I want you to know that this message of understanding what he did for us makes the enemy angry. Because I want you to know that you're standing at a doorway, a threshold. Hallelujah. That you're crossing over, come on, from one area to the next. When you begin to operate in rest, hallelujah. You're about ready to take up your bed and walk, hallelujah. See, I want you to know the enemy wants you to be carried around in your bed. But Jesus says, if you partake of me, of what I did for you, the death and burial and resurrection, you'll pick up your bed. It won't pick you up. You'll pick up your bed and go home. And out of your life will produce something else. What are they partaking of? Listen, you get that? Come on. Amen? He says, listen, we are the harvest. You want to go ahead and get the kids? Come on up. We're going to get ready to do this. I want to bring this. I just wrote down the simple things that were happening. David was fleeing from Saul. Jesus was a threat to the Pharisees. Not only that, but David was an unrecognized king. And Jesus was an unrecognized king. Listen, come on, I want you to get this. This is powerful, man. But he kept going. I want you to know that the two things that David did, the number one thing was he was partaking of the death and burial and resurrection prophetically. He was partaking of it. He was hearing the right thing. You need to hear the right message. We need to hear the right message if we're going to have life. What you put into your life, what you receive in your hearing and understanding will give you life and power. So David was in that place and he was partaking of that. But not only that, but he was standing there and he looked and he said he remembered because he knew something was there. And do you know what was in that place? The sword that he killed Goliath with. And he told, you know, I want you to know that, listen, see, I want you to get this. Because of what he was eating, he wasn't going to use the sword as a weapon for Saul. See, because Saul was coming against him. He was coming after him. And our tendency is inside of us is to fight back. It's to get mad. To get angry. But see, this isn't what happened with David. See, David said, listen, he began to reach out. He says, and he says, we have the sword. It's behind the ephod. I want you to know it's behind that priestly garment. Come on. It's the same garment that you wore. Amen. It is that garment, what you put upon you. And he took hold of that sword. And when he brought that sword out, he laid it upon David. And I could just imagine. Come on, saints, get this. I could just imagine. Here's my sword. I just stop for a second and think about this. He hands him the sword, hands it to him. And David looks at the sword and the memories that are rushing back. I want you to remember where he is.
I got to turn it off. I'm going to blind somebody.
I remember where he is. It's dusty. I want you to remember where he is, though. This guy just came out of a cave. Probably stunk. Beard. Not in romp beards. I'm saying he's just rough. No deodorant. Smelly. And he finds himself there. He says, I need life. And he just came out of that place where he was in a cave. And in those places, sometimes the only thing you hear in a cave is your own voice. The echo, 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 echo. And he probably got tired of what he was saying. I need something else. I need something more. I need to go back to the temple. I need to partake of something. I'm hungry. So he went back to that place and it says the priest gave him the sword. And when he handed him the sword, he took that sword in his hand. I just imagine he just held on to that thing. I want you to know that he wasn't taking it to kill Saul, but he was taking a hold of it to remind himself. I believe he took it back to his cave in the darkest places. In that place with it, he felt alone. And I bet you at night when he reached over in the side of his bed when he was laying there and grabbed hold of that sword just to remind him of what God did. Remind him of the promises that he's not forgotten. Hallelujah. That he's not alone. Reminding himself what has happened, what God did for him. I want you to know that we remind ourselves of what he did for us. That what he did at the cross, come on, amen, gave us life. He defeated the enemy. He defeated Goliath. Come on, amen. He took off the head of the enemy. I no longer have any enemies. Come on, amen. I don't have any. Jesus defeated. He defeated Satan at the cross. He has no power over me. Tell your neighbor he has no power. I want you to know that we need to grab hold of the word and understand that he has no power. The Bible says, give no place to the enemy. He has no authority. Because I find myself, because of the message that I hear, the word that I eat, tells me that I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. And I want you to know who doesn't have a seat in the heavenlies. Can you tell me? He don't have a seat. He did not supply him a seat. The only person that gives him place is us. Is our flesh. But when I partake of the right thing, the right message, and understand what he did for me, and put my hand on the sword that reminds me of his promises, remind me that I am not forgotten. You might feel alone. I want you to know that Karen called me today. Karen. And she said to me today, she goes, I'm telling you, Pastor, this morning I was overtaken. Felt overwhelmed because her hip was hurting. She don't have a leg. She's going blind in her eyes. And she told me, she says, Pastor, she calls me every single Saturday at 4:30 to pray for me. Doesn't forget. Never. And she says to me, she goes, Pastor, she goes, I was sitting there, worked up, and she felt the Spirit of God come on. That's all you need is what you're partaking of. Life. And she said she felt God say to her, who am I to you? Start with A. You're awesome. And she began to go through the whole alphabet. And she began, and she says she didn't even get to H, and she was jumping up and down in her spirit. She was quickened without it. I want you to know, she took hold of the sword. She wasn't fighting the battle today. Come on, amen. The enemy wants you to pick up your sword and fight violently, violently. He wants you to work yourself up. Come on, to get in a frenzy about your situation. But God says, I want you to rest. Hallelujah. I want you to sit back and tell me, who am I to you? Hallelujah. What is my name? Hallelujah. Tell me my name. Tell me what I mean to you. Woo-hoo. Changes everything. Changes everything. Come on. Amen. Would you stand your feet? Listen. Oh, you okay? Okay, good. She's just falling for Jesus. Listen. Listen, the bread was bigger than this, but it was called showbread that Jesus or David took. It's called showbread. And what it means was that the bread was showing God who God was. It was to show God, the face of God. So they priests would partake of it, that it would be life to them. Come on, amen. That was their life support. That's what they ate in the temple. They were the ones to eat it. So I want you to see the significance of it, because there were two stacks of six on the left and six on the right, and they'd be stacked up before them. And I want you to see how powerful this is, because the bread in which God, it was the bread which to see God. To see God. That's what it means, showbread. To see God. Come on, amen. It's what you eat is whether or not you'll see the right. If you take the hold of the message of death, burial, and resurrection, you'll see God. You'll see the heart of God. Hallelujah. That He's not left you alone. Hallelujah. That you have resurrection power. See, if we don't see it that way, we think we're alone. We feel like we're by ourselves. We think that God's forgotten us. That's not the case. Listen, the first stack represents, number one, the crucified, dead, buried, quickened, raised, and seated. And the other one was this. This is what it means to me. Crucified with Him, died dead with Him, buried with Him, quickened with Him, raised with Him, and seated with Him. They were eating that. Do you understand when you begin to eat, partake of that? Changes everything. Adam ate the wrong thing, got in this mess. It's going to take us eating something right to get out of it. And it's the message that Jesus had walking through the cornfield of resurrection life. Come on. So I pray tonight that each one of us, I want you to come. Come. I hope it changes our thinking and understanding. I just pray that it just quickens us and wakes us up to see the power of this right here, what happened, what took place 2,000 years ago that has given me power in life. I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. I have hope and I have purpose because of what He did. So I say, come. All those that are heavy laden, all those that have been through, come. Come on. Go. When we say that, that's why it says that this is the good news. Preach the good news. The good news. It's about what He did. What given me life and given me purpose. That I can wake up in the morning and not fear. Not tremble, not be afraid. But I can walk in success because I know what He did. Come on. I know of His success. Hallelujah. And His success is my success. Come on, amen. His success is my success. And what He partakes of, I partake of. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, God, Lord, that we have come alive because of You. I thank You for Your life that was given. I thank You, God, Lord, for what I can partake of.
pray to God, Lord, that I open my heart and see that like never before. I pray to God, Lord, that I feed, hallelujah, from your word. And I see to God, Lord, what you've overcome in your victory and your power. Lord, that I don't have to fear, but I'm an overcomer. I'm a child of the Most High God. And because of that, I can declare that I am.
Highly favored.
In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Let somebody encourage somebody. Come on downstairs in fellowship.